I don't know what I was getting ready to say there. Oh, dear. Dear, dear, oh, dear. So did you guys see the new church van out there? The white one just sitting right out front. Yeah, that is awesome. So I'll be just to before we start, I just wanted to mention that, you know, so there's a church in Williams, and I'm not sure what's going on there. Great pastor named David, and it's called Pentecostal Church of God. And so for whatever reason, they had to get rid of this van, and so they had asked a wholesaler to give them a price. Well, you know, a wholesaler's not going to give you a very good price. Anyway, I say that they allowed us to have it even less than what the wholesaler was going to give them. And so, thank you, the Lord. So, the purpose for that van, yeah, thank you, Lord, for that, is to we want to start in some of the areas of Chino. We want to start picking up some of the kids and bringing them to church. That, you know, it sounds minute and little, but those are the things we have to do in America to change America. Did you know that? Those are the things. Filling people, young people, with the Word of God, with the truth. Being born again, being saved. And I even know as those kids, some kids can grow up and they can have struggles and stray. But once you have that seed of the Word of God in you, I am convinced that it comes back and bears fruit. Amen? Bears fruit unto salvation and peace and joy. So we're thankful, Lord, that this will be one of many vans. Yes. And so just coming up with ideals of how to start to to reach out in our community and all the other things that we've got going, some different things that are a blessing. A food truck. Hey, Marie, you're not lying about that. So anyway, I want to read a little bit. Then I'm going to switch over, because we talked last week about the disciples going across the Dead Sea, right? And Jesus met up with him. He was walking on water. And I just last week, those scriptures just ministered to me. And so I want to go back there. So we're in John's session. Before you put it up there, does anybody know what session we're on? 53. Amen. Now you can put it up there, Bill. You don't have it this week? Okay. So we're going to start on, there we are, the screen. No, now we're not going backwards. Going back to zero. And so I just want to say John chapter 6, verse 24 and going on. Little repeat of last week. Does the AC need to be turned on? Okay. I saw some gals fanning, so. So verse 24 says, So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. So Jesus had, remember, he had fed the 5,000. And we think with women and children and the men, there could be up to 15,000 people there. So if you think of 15,000 people in an area, it was a grassed area, he said it was a well-grassed area, you could think that's a big crowd. That's a big crowd. As an example, if you were at that, used to be called Tim's, you know, the place in Prescott Valley, the event center, that holds about 5,000 people, if you've ever been there. And so there's a lot of people. And so Jesus, you know, he dismisses them, and he goes up to the mountain. He sends off the disciples, right? The disciples come across the Sea of Galilee and a small group of men and experience the absolute power of God in a tough situation. So, but we're not going to go back. We spoke about that last week. And then the big crowd get in boats and go pursuing the Lord in a big fanfare. I don't know many. So it says that in verse 24, So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the small boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. So I don't know how many small boats. I don't know how big the crowd was, but we know that it was a crowd of people. And so the big crowd gets some boats and go pursuing the Lord in a big fanfare. How many were in the boats pursuing the Lord? Was there thousands still? We don't know. We read these things, but use your imagination a little bit. Just think about it as we're reading these things. And so Jesus sends his disciples off into the boat. Jesus goes up into the mountain to pray. And then this crowd, they're fed. They're like, what happened to Jesus? And where did his disciples go? And so they get in these boats. It says a crowd gets in a boat. So was there still thousands pursuing him? I don't know. But there could be. There could be thousands of people, says, we're going across the Sea of Galilee looking for Jesus again. And so let me just say that looks like a revival's headed to Israel. If you look at this situation here, you'd like, wow, this is amazing. There's revival headed to Israel. This is exciting. The things that we saw are things that you only saw in the book of Exodus. And so the Israelites are looking at that and said, we must find him. As you know, when you read that chapter, they said, we want to take him and make him. They were going to take him by force and make him king. Saying, yeah, when we see what you do, it matches up to the book of Exodus. So we're going to take him by force and make him king. So it looks like revival is headed to Israel. A large crowd is looking for Jesus. While there are these many, many boats, they might be going across. Just think about it. They're looking for Jesus. They might be singing some of the old-time hymns. They might be, really, they're excited. I'm not putting that down, but they're thinking, man, they're excited. Do you know what we've seen? And so you can think about what are they saying and what's going on? What is the attitude? Just think of all these small boats together. I don't know how many small boats, but it's at a crowd. They might be singing. They're extremely excited to find Jesus again. They're excited about the second coming of Moses. Of Moses. This must be the Messiah. Remember what Moses said? There, someone like me is going to come. There's someone like me that's going to come after me, and you must listen to him. So you're thinking, if someone's coming after me and he's like me, they must be thinking that he's going to do the same things as Moses did. And we know that Moses didn't heal a lot of sick himself, but when there was bread multiplied and fish, now that's looking Mosaic. That's looking like the Messiah. That's looking like what we're looking for. So we know that the disciples were in a tough situation. They seen and experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord allowed this tough situation in order for the disciples to put their trust in Jesus. It would be their anchor in this day to come. I think of Hebrews 6:19 says this, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, behind the veil. We know that God doesn't live in a veil. We know that God doesn't have 10 commandments, right? Anymore in a box with angelic beings over the top of them, right? Made out of gold. We know that when Jesus died, that veil was rent in half. Amen. But that hope that we have behind the veil, knowing that his presence is with us, lives in us, is with us 24/7. Isn't that amazing? And it says, and when they found him on the other side, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? When did you get here? Where have you been? Seriously, they're looking for him. Where have you been? For this crowd on the outside, everything looks very holy. Very holy, very righteous, very revival-like. Fancy bumping into you here, Jesus. You just happened to be here. We bumped into you. And Jesus answered them. And this, we're going to go here, but I'm going to take a little different direction. Jesus answered them and said, truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate some of the loaves and were filled. Wow. So they were looking at the external. They were looking at what they saw. They thought when they saw that 5,000, 15,000 people being fed, that revival had arrived. And you know, and sometimes we can see different things on the outward side, see things. There could be great fanfare. But man, it has to be a truth. It has to be truth. Something within the inner being of a man and a woman. You know, real quick, but I want to stop there. I hate to cut it short, but I want it to go a different direction. Real quick, but it has to do with the boat. So we know for the last couple weeks, I talked about the disciples going across this boat, this great storm. Jesus showing up on the scene. You remember we're talking about how the waters are battering up against that boat. Do you remember that with the winds, they were fearful. They were getting point to being fearful for their life. It was like 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning. And so it looked like, and they were in the middle. They, going back wasn't really an option, going forward. But I just want to read something. And sometimes you just read the scripture, and I'm telling you, it doesn't need anything added to it. But I want to read about this other boat incident, which I know you know. It's in Acts 27. I didn't give this to you, Bill, so I'm sorry. But it's Acts 27, if you have your Bible. And this is written. You remember? Anybody remember who wrote the book of Acts? Luke. Brother Luke. And so as I read this, just understand as I read this that Luke is here. Luke is on this boat. Luke is narrating this story. So this is Luke, right? So as you read, so think about it. Now we're on another boat in another tough situation. If you can allow me just to read this, and then we're gonna share communion together tonight. You can either just listen as I read, or you can go to Acts 27. I am reading from the NASB. And so this is shipwreck. I'm gonna start on verse 11. I'm going to go to verse 10. I'm going to read through this chapter. So this is about a boat. Another boat incident. And verse 10, so saying to them, men, this is Paul. He's saying to the men that were manning this ship. Now, we're not talking about a smaller boat. We're talking about a big ship now. Saying to them, men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss. Not only for the cargo and the ship, but also for our lives. This is Paul saying, please, the Lord has spoken, do not take off. Winter here, they're thinking, we can't winter here. This is not the place to winter. We need to get further on. And so you've got a prisoner. You got Paul, who's a prisoner, why are they going to listen to this guy? He says, but please stay here. But verse 11, but the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul. So in verse 12, the harbor was not suitable for wintering. So the majority reached a decision to put out to sea from there if somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete facing southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. So they said, hey, this isn't really where we want it. We don't want to be here. This isn't a place to winter. And even though there's rough waters ahead of us, the powers to be, those who are in the know, are saying we got to go further on. And Paul, by the Spirit of God, but they don't know the Lord. By the way, they don't know the Lord. These are people that do not know the Lord at all. And so you have a prisoner saying, don't do it. Stay right here. They said, who are you? We got the pilot. We've got those that to know how to man these ships, who's taken this voyage many, many times. They're saying we got to go forward. And so they go forward. And so in verse 13, when a moderate south wind came up, thinking that they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began to sailing along Crete closer to shore. They said, oh, the weather looks good. We're going to take off. Everything that's happened before is looking just like it's looked in the past. We don't have anything to worry about. Our lives look smooth sailing here. Man, we've taken this trip before. These are something we've done in life over and over and over again. It's smooth sailing. And so on verse 14, but before very long, a violent wind called a Euroquillo rushed down from the land. And when the ship was caught in it, and could not head up into the wind, we gave up and let ourselves be driven by the wind. And when you're reading this is Luke. So our narrator's Luke. So Luke is either sometime after this, probably not right then, because it wasn't conducive to writing right then. But this is Luke that's giving this account, man. I'm telling you, this account right here is as true as you and I sitting right here. Man, this is the Holy Spirit through Luke giving an indication, giving an account of him and some other people with Paul headed to Rome, thinking that, hey, the Lord has spoken to me, we need to stay right here. And then the captain of the ship and those in charge said, no, we got to go forward. We know what we're doing. And as they head into this, out of the harbor and start hugging along the shore, all of a sudden the winds begin to rise up. Running under the shelter of a small island called Kata, we were able to get the ship's boat under control only with difficulty. They thought, well, maybe things are looking up. We got this under control now. Verse 17, it says, after they had hoisted it up, they used supporting cables in undergirding the ship, and fearing that they might run aground on the shallows of Cyprus, they let down the sea anchor and let themselves be driven along in this way. Verse 18, the next day as we were being violently tossed by the storm, they began to jettison the cargo. It's getting serious now, huh? Man, we got to start getting rid of some of the weight, the cargo, those things that we need for this trip. At this point, man, we can't think about this cargo, things that we're taking with us to Rome. We've got to empty them off the ship in order to save our own lives. And verse 19, and on the third day, so man, we're going day after day after day, as you can see here. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. So now we're starting to get rid of tackle. We're getting rid of more stuff. Now we're getting into the things that we need for the day-to-day for this trip. So things, as you can see, things are becoming more and more dire. So we have Paul, and we have some others on this ship, and they're part of this. The decision of some people who didn't know God, some decision of some people that say, we know what's best here. Things look like they've always have. And Paul knowing, but there's a check in his spirit saying, man, we should stay here. But yet here they are. They have no say in it. Here they're being dragged along. They have no say on what's going to happen here. They have no say on the reason why they're here. Man, to no fault of their own, they're along for a ride that's not very fun. Amen. And then verse 20 says, since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. Now we're turning this thing. The storm is prevailing day after day after day. It's not just being tossed about to and fro for a few days. You're going to see that this thing goes on for several weeks. Several weeks. And 20 says, since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small storm was assailing us, from then on all hope of our being saved was slowly abandoned. And so at this time, if our writer Luke is saying, man, we're looking at this saying, it doesn't look good. Man, it looks like this decision, it could cost our lives. This is what he's saying. He says, we were starting to lose hope for our own lives. Being saved was slowly abandoned. It means a life and hope was slowly being sucked out of them. You know they're praying. You know Paul's praying. You know that Luke, you know, Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Luke or wrote the book of Acts. I mean, this is a man of God. Some of the other people there are mighty men or women of God, and they're praying, and right now they're not seeing nothing changing. We were starting to lose hope of even our own life. Verse 21, we just see how this begins to just continue to play out. When many had lost their appetites, Paul stood up among them and said, men, you should have followed. Now he's going to say, hey, guys. You've heard, hey, you should never tell anybody, told you so. But I'm telling you, Paul right here takes the time to say, I told you so. So verse 21, when they had lost their appetite, Paul then stood up among them and said, men, you should have followed my advice and not have set sail from Crete and thereby spared yourselves this damage and loss. I told you guys. It says, and yet now I urge you to keep up your courage. This is where the thing, this has gone on for days and days. They've been praying. You ever been that in life where something goes on for, seems like forever, and you keep praying about it? You keep praying about it. Sometimes it doesn't seem to get any better. I mean, they're in a situation here that looks like there's no hope day after day. Even the good Dr. Luke says, man, we were starting to give up hope. Amen. But Paul, I love what Paul says here, and yet now I urge you to keep up your courage. For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of this ship. Verse 23 says, for this very night an angel of the God to whom I belong. Who here belongs to God? Amen. He says, I know you guys don't know the Lord. This is what he said. I know you guys don't believe in him. You don't understand anything about him. But I'm going to tell you, these people in the world who have completely given up hope. Sure, he says, look, you should have listened to me. You can see now. You can see now that I was hearing. What he's saying, you can see and hear now that I was hearing from my God. For this night, verse 23, for this very night, an angel of God, of the God to whom I belong, whom I also serve, came to me saying, do not be afraid. Wow. Everything around them, saints, we got to realize everything around them. And I just want to say this, regardless of what's going on in the economy, no matter what's going on in the economics, some of the craziest things we could ever imagine going on in this country and around us and maybe in your own lives or your own family, let me just tell you right here, this is a word of God for you and a word of God for me. Do not be afraid. When the world doesn't know what's going on and they're saying, we're not listening to you, we're not listening to your God, we're going to set sail the course of our lives, sail the course of what we think is best, and we're not going to listen to you. But I got a feeling there's coming a time, and I'm not saying this to be mean, where we're going to be able to say, you should have listened to me. You should have listened to the voice of the Lord. You shouldn't have thought I was just a complete buffoon. You shouldn't have thought I was a nobody just on this ship. You should have listened to me. I'm telling you, this is something that we need to realize. These things that God was written, that Luke was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write, is for you and I today. If you believe in the power of the Word of God, and I don't know about, I know you do. You wouldn't be here tonight, right? For this very night, verse 23 again, for this very night, an angel of God to whom I belong, whom I also serve, came to me saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. He says, I still got purpose for you. These aren't your last days. It looks like it's the last of days. You're pretty bummed out right now. You and your crew, it doesn't look good, he says, but there's more for you. There's more for you. You know, when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and says, it's not over yet, there's a reason for that. Purpose, strength, and ability inside of us. And it always has to start with this. Do not be afraid. He's with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Regardless of what's going on around us, regardless of what could be going around you right now, the Lord is saying, do not be afraid. If he is with you, it doesn't matter who's against you. If he is with you, he will guard your back with angels. He will lead you with the power of the Holy Spirit. If you will put your trust in him, put your trust in the Word of God, and we're going to see a couple more things that are the kicker tonight. 24, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has graciously granted you all those who are sailing with you. So all those with him even who didn't know the Lord, the Lord says, I'm graciously going to protect them as well. He's protecting them, I'm telling you, because of Paul. Because they are with Paul. They're with Paul. See, this is the thing, I know that my family and my children, they're with me. They may not know it in some areas, but I know by the grace of God that they belong to the Lord because I belong to the Lord. They may be doing some things that are contrary, but like Paul, that group of people in our lives belongs to me in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 25, therefore, keep up your, once again, therefore, what? Keep up your courage. Amen. Therefore, keep up your courage. Verse 25, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on a certain island. So he's saying, this is what you got to do now. You didn't listen to me before, but here's the path to eternal life. Doesn't look like anything that your mind tells you to do. I'm telling you to run the ship aground. You're thinking, that's nuts. Just like the gospel. The gospel seems nuts. But if you listen to the gospel, it seems like you're running your life aground, but it's actually what's going to save you. Amen? It's what's going to save you. Amen. But we must run aground on a certain island. Verse 27, but when the 14th night came, so we're going to keep, we're talking 2 weeks now of a storm that they cannot control this ship. They don't know where they're at. They can't control the directions. They've been getting rid of all this stuff. They're kind of getting what they call wits end. You've heard wits end, right? Verse 27, but when the 14th night came, as we were being driven about in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors began to suspect that they were approaching some land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And a little farther on, they took another sounding and found it to be 15 fathoms. Fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast four anchors from the stern and prayed for daybreak. So we got some people praying now, don't we? Verse 30, but as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship and had let down the ship's boat into the sea on the pretense that they were going to lay out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men remain on the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it fall away. Now, after this time where things were completely out of their control, their intellect, their strength, their ability could no longer direct their path in any way, shape, or form. Now when Paul said, hey, if you want to live, you've got to do exactly what I say. And guess what? We've got people listening now. I'm telling you, the storms of life, that is a time sometimes where people say, I'm ready to listen. Everything else that I've tried, everything else, everything that I've done myself has brought me no satisfaction, no joy, no purpose, no peace, no strength. You know, many times people have to come to the end of themselves to be willing to listen to anybody like a Paul, just a prisoner. He's a nobody. Remember, to them, he's a nobody. But now when he's talking, he might as well be in charge because everybody's listening to him now. Amen. Amen. And to verse 23, until the day was about to dawn, Paul kept encouraging them to all take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating, having taken in nothing. Therefore, I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your survival. For not a hair from your head, from the head of any of you, will perish. Having said that, as we get up, can we start? I'm sorry, I should have had that done before, if we can hand out the elements. We're going to take, I'm going to pause just real quick. We're going to hand out the elements here. I meant to have David do it sooner. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So Paul continued to encourage them. He continued to encourage them. mind you, this group was certain that their days and hours were numbered, right? You know you're at your end of the wit when the guy, the bottom guy in the totem pole is given the orders now. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You get a chance, you bring me one, David, when you're ready. Okay. Thank you. Amen and amen. You hanging in there? Don't you love his word?
Yeah.
Man, don't you love his word? Just encourages me. Encourages me. Does it encourage you? The word of God is meant to encourage us and strengthen us in hopeless situations. This was a hopeless situation. Let me just say at the beginning, thank you, David. At the beginning, this storm started to take effect and increase, and looks like there's no end, and they're starting to throw everything off board. Even the good Dr. Luke said, man, that's not looking good for us. It wasn't until the Lord spoke to Paul and he said, look, not one person here is going to be lost. You think of this violent storm. This isn't just going through some white caps, a little water over the side. No, we're talking where water's being taken on. So much water is taken on that they've got to start getting rid of all their tackle. Everything they had, any excess weight. They have no control of this thing. Day after day, they haven't eaten. They have no strength. And so when you just think of this situation in your mind, man, there's no hope. And then one guy gets up. One guy gets up and he brings hope. Man, the power of the Holy Spirit through just one individual or you speaking to your heart can bring all the hope you need in a situation that looks helpless. Amen? Amen and amen. So verse 33, until the day was about to dawn, Paul kept encouraging them all to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating and having taken in nothing. Verse 34, therefore I encourage you to take some food, for this is for your survival. For not a hair from your head of any of you will perish. And look at this. Having said that, he took bread. Let's do that. Let's take this bread. I'm going to read this. This is how simple the power of God can manifest in a very difficult situation. This is how simple, with a sincere heart. Having said that, let me read that again, 35. Having said that, this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and he broke it and began to eat. All of them were encouraged, and they themselves also took food. Did you see that? They were encouraged. And so, Lord, I pray as you and I don't know where you're at in every little situation in your life, but he does. And here's the key. He's saying he took that bread. They didn't have much else left. Everything else was gone. They took this bread, and they gave thanks. They gave that, and everybody, there's 276 people, probably most of them heathens, do not know God because of what the storm they had been through, where all, every one of them was encouraged when Paul took that bread and he says, hey, let's give thanks. And how about to you tonight, in your situation, just take a moment and say, before you take this bread, and just give him thanks. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Just say thank you, whatever it is, say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it could be a tough situation that you need the Lord's help. Trust him and give thanks, not for the trouble. Give thanks that the Lord is going to lead you out of it. Give thanks for your family. Give thanks for this nation, man, that it's not too late for this nation. It may look like we're in a storm. It may look like things are being thrown overboard. But sometimes that has to happen. For people to start listening to the voice of God, otherwise they would never listen to. And with that, Lord, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you, we praise you. Lord, we thank you for encouraging our hearts. Lord, we thank you for your power. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you're with us in the middle of every storm. And Lord, we realize that the biggest thing for encouragement is to be thankful. So we're thankful. We're thankful, Lord. Every storm that we're in, we give thanks to you, Lord, for protecting us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And for us, a reminder with this juice, the blood of Jesus, it makes it all possible. The blood of Jesus has washed every sin in my life away, every one of them. Every dark, shameful sin has been washed away. Matter of fact, those things that have been done against me that have brought pain, the Lord has washed those away from my soul, from my mind, by the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we declare that tonight, Lord, as we drink of the cup. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Let me just continue and just finish this. Our time is already up. God is good. In verse 35, having said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and he broke it and began to eat. All of them were encouraged, and they themselves also took food. And then this is continue to what Luke has to say. We were 276 people on the ship in all. When they had eaten enough, they began lightening the ship by throwing the wheat out into the sea. So they were encouraged, but they kept doing what they had to do. So right when they gave thanks right then, the storm wasn't over. Now they're throwing wheat overboard. They continued to have to lighten that ship. But I can tell you something in their heart transitioned. Verse 39, now when the day came, they could not recognize the land, but they did notice a bay with a beach, and they resolved to run the ship onto it if they could. In verse 40, casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea, while at the same time they were loosening the ropes of the rudders, and they hoisted the foresail to the wind and were heading for the beach. It's like, oh, we're headed for the beach. No, we're no more trying to be out to sea. No more trying to do what we think's best. We're going to run this thing aground. Amen. And they hoisted the foresail to the wind and were headed for the beach. 41. But they struck a reef where two seas met and ran the ship aground. And the prow struck firmly and remained immovable, while the stern started to break up due to the force of the waves. So this ship is beginning to break up. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners so that none of them would swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to bring Paul safely through, kept them from accomplishing their intention and commanded that those who could swim were to jump overboard first and get to land. And the rest were to follow, some on planks, and others on various things from the ship. And so it happened that they were all brought safely to the land. Wow. Some were floating on planks. Different things are grabbing hold of. They're no longer on the ship. And all 276 make it. And there was prisoners there that were going to be killed. And because of Paul, their lives were spared. Amen. Aren't you thankful because of you, because of your life? There's people being spared. There's people being spared because of you, your testimony, your heart. This is where it started. It started with Paul getting a word from the Lord. And how did that manifest to everybody around him? Thankfulness. He didn't give up and give a big speech. He didn't give up and say, hey, this is I got to give you the gospel right now. He simply, at that time, he was thankful. And it encouraged all those around them. And when all 276 of them got to shore safely, I bet they wanted to hear what Paul had to say then. So if we can stand up, and can we just just a second, saying, Lord, thank you for Thanksgiving. Thank you for the power of Thanksgiving. Lord, that sometimes just by faith, in the middle of rough waters, a middle of rough seas, things coming against us, Lord, we just simply lift up our hands. We thank you for Jesus, who is the bread of life. Jesus, who is the bread of life. Jesus, who spilt his blood on Calvary for you and I, Lord, so that we could be strengthened through every battle, an overcomer, kept safely till we, so to speak, reach that beach. And those around us are this reaching that with us. So we thank you for that, Lord. How we love you. How we bless you. How we exalt you. How we thank you. How we praise you. Lord, we belong to you. We thank you that we belong to you. Lord, I thank you that we can trust you. And Lord, I thank you that you speak to us in the middle of the storm. Lord, you speak to us. So we thank you that we can hear your voice and be grateful. So we love you and we praise you and we exalt you this Wednesday night. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Don't you love him tonight? Amen. Hallelujah.